John chapter 11, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to go back to verse 1. There's a description given of a man, his name, the town he's from, and his sisters who were with him. We don't see any mention of his parents, and so we can assume that the parents were probably not alive at this point. And Lazarus is the only man in that house. He has two sisters, Mary and Martha. This Mary is not the mother of Jesus. This Mary is the sister of Lazarus. And the Bible very clearly says that she was the Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And her brother, Lazarus, was sick. Now, his sickness was not an ordinary sickness. His sickness was a sickness that really caused great concern to Mary and Martha. And we also see that they informed Jesus Christ of his sickness. And when they informed him, this is what they told in the messenger to give message to Jesus, which was, Lazarus, a brother, whom Jesus loves very much, is sick. Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, was sick at that time. May the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts at this hour. Lazarus was someone who was loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. His sisters knew about that. Jesus loved his sisters very much as well. The Bible actually says that there's a family that Jesus loved. Jesus, every time he went to Bethany, he stayed at their place. And this was a family who invited Jesus Christ every time he went there. As a result of that, they built a strong bond, a relationship with Jesus Christ as a family. May the Holy Spirit encourage your hearts this morning. As a family, you can build a bond with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would invite him as a family into your home. Have family prayer and take it very seriously. You too can have a relationship with Jesus Christ that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had. Family prayer should be given high priority. Personal prayer should be given high priority. Corporate worship, gathering together as the body of Jesus Christ where Jesus Christ is really worshipped and where Jesus Christ really comes and manifests his presence must be given high priority. Because of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus taking Jesus Christ seriously, more than the rest of the people there, they made it their main business to have Jesus Christ in their home every time he came to Bethany. Because of that, they got to know Jesus, and Jesus got to know them. Their relationship was not like the rest of the crowd that was outside, that just came for healing, that just came for miracles, that just came to see what Jesus was doing, or just came to hear his wonderful speech. Very different. This family got to see Jesus Christ up close, experience his love up close, got to see him stay there, sleep there, eat with them. It's a very intimate bond, unlike the others who just came and visited him and went. How come the others didn't have that? How come the others didn't experience that? How come the others didn't want that? Here is the Lord of heaven and earth. His holy feet has touched the ground. 3.5 short years of ministry he had. Yet he had a ministry like no other. So many people, so many lives were touched, so many miracles he did. Yet, out of all the people in Bethany, he had one family that he regularly stayed. Was he partial? No. It was this family that chose to make it their main business to invite Jesus Christ into their home and to build that relationship with the Lord of glory. God is asking you this question. There are many people out there, many people, many church-going people, many people who don't go to church, who say that they are at home and they worship God. Many church-going people and those who don't go to church, they all say that we worship God in our own way. But very few have that intimate relationship with the King of Glory. Very few have him in their homes. Very few have the experience of having Jesus at their dinner table, having Jesus converse with them, having Jesus Christ talk to them about what's going on with their lives. Have Jesus Christ bless them very distinctly. God is asking you this morning, are you among those few people? Do you have the desire like the family that Jesus loved? They were able to say, the man whom Jesus loved. They were able to send that message to the King of Glory. Lord, the man whom you love is sick unto death. And the people around them knew that Jesus loved his family very much. If we'd known Steve, the rest of them really longed for that love. You don't see any competition here. Jesus is not visiting my house, he only visited your house, or he's not staying here. You don't see that. How come? How come there's a lack of the desire to entertain the King of Glory in their homes? How come they didn't have that desire to have him stay at their homes? He could have stayed at every home every time he passed through Bethany, different homes. But the Bible says when he passed through Bethany, he often stayed at this family's home. And we also see in different passages how Mary runs to invite Jesus inside. Martha runs to invite Jesus inside. And how they're so excited about Jesus coming. And how this family was a different kind of family. Different from the rest of the people in Bethany. God is speaking to our hearts today. We should be in a position where we should be able to say that, you know, that we're God's people. There's a distinction. Everybody can call themselves, but deep in their conscience, a person who really belongs to God will know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm his and he is mine. And whatever happens to such people, everything will work out for God's glory and for their good. With such love, this family served Jesus. And it says over here that Mary anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. You see, each one's distinctive nature here. You see Martha really running around, excited, getting to serve him. We see Mary anointing the Lord with the ointment. We see Lazarus with someone who gives us high priority, and as a result, he became a friend of Jesus Christ. The whole family became very closely acquainted with the King of Glory. May God give each one of you that desire. Houses will come, houses will go. Money will come, money can go. People will come into our lives and people will go. Even the closest relationships will have to end one day. Because everything is temporary. We all will need to say bye to our loved ones and go. Some get the opportunity to say bye, some don't. But one thing is lasting. One thing is lasting. The relationship we build on earth with the Lord Jesus Christ alone is going to last forever. And if we build a relationship with Jesus Christ, then in him, we build a relationship with our family members and those whom we love, that God gives to us. Then, we know that our relationship on earth with our loved ones can continue into eternity. That though there won't be that big divide, separation, when our time on earth is over, as it happened to Lazarus, the other Lazarus, not this Lazarus, the beggar Lazarus, and the rich man. This family that Jesus loved had a major crisis. Suddenly, Lazarus became sick. The man whom Jesus loved suddenly became sick. And his sickness was not an ordinary sickness. His sickness was, in the sight of the world, a sickness unto death. Understand? Those who walk with God, those who have Jesus in their homes, those who live with the Lord, they can go through a very difficult period. They can go through sickness. They can go through difficult path, sudden difficult path. Just because Lazarus was Jesus' friend doesn't mean that he escaped the problems of life. Just because Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were loved by Jesus doesn't mean that they were above the problems of this world. Just because Jesus loved them and they loved Jesus doesn't mean that they never got sick. Because he came to their house, they had perfect health all their lives. They had no trouble. No. They went through something perhaps most of the other people didn't go through, which was sudden illness, severe testing, severe trial. Mary didn't know what was happening. Martha didn't know what was happening. Lazarus himself didn't know what was happening. One thing they knew was the situation was getting worse and worse and worse. It came to a point where it couldn't get any worse because death itself came and stared at their faces. What is the point in having God in their lives at that point? When the help that they thought they would get, they were not able to get. What is the point in having God in their lives when their God couldn't keep the sickness from coming to them? Now, these would have been the questions that people would have had. Even today, many people have. People who don't know God have. I'm not saying that Mary and Martha had or Lazarus had. People who don't have God certainly have that. They looked at Jesus and they said, while he was on the cross, this man saved so many people, but look, he's not able to save himself. Jesus Christ himself was broken beyond recognition. The path of the cross is a path of suffering and a path of glory. Lazarus, who was so loved by God, went through the sickness, sudden sickness. He went through pain. Sickness involves pain. It's a crisis, sudden crisis. It was not something that he always had. If he would have had this before, then Jesus would have healed him when he came last time. But this is happening when Jesus Christ was not there physically. He was in another town ministering. And when he first got sick, he wouldn't have been concerned at all. Because they knew we have God on our side. Mary and Martha wouldn't have been worried at all because they knew Oh, we have Jesus. He's our friend. Jesus is here. He will heal us. He will bring us out of this. But even before the news could reach Jesus, the sickness progressively, quickly worsened. It is at that point Jesus is getting the news. The news is being sent to Jesus that he is really sick, that he needs healing. Even then, they were not beyond hope. They had such hope because they knew Jesus is here. He's at a reachable distance, even though he's not right there. But we can give him the news and he will come and he will heal him. And now he could even say a word from there. Lazarus could have gotten healed. But none of the expectations were met. It all ended in a sore disappointment. And we also must understand Lazarus is going through pain while he's sick. He's going through physical pain. We don't know what disease he had. It's something so severe that took his life. His sisters were going through a lot of pain, emotional pain, mental pain. Imagine, every day they would have been looking. We don't know how many days he was sick. But we know, at least, it was a week or so that Jesus himself came after 4 days, after he was buried. And they sent the word when he was sick. So every day when he was sick, at least for a couple of days, Mary and Martha would have been looking to their door. Is Jesus coming? Is he coming? We asked for help. Is he coming? I hope he will be coming soon. They would have been talking to each other. They would have been telling Lazarus, Lazarus, don't worry. Just hold on a little longer. We told Jesus, okay? Jesus will come. He's coming. He's coming soon. He's going to come heal you. And Lazarus would have said, yes, I know. I know he'll come. And they would have had this comfort with which they would have comforted one another that he's our friend. Jesus is our friend. He will come. He will come. He will come. And they were hoping, trusting. And therefore, they sent the message and they were waiting. Only to find themselves totally disappointed because Jesus didn't show up. Now, imagine what the rest of the people would have said. Ah, he healed so many other people now. His friend is in a critical condition. And the news was given to Jesus and he just ignored everything and he continued ministering there. Did he really love Lazarus? We all thought that he loved Lazarus, Mary and Martha. And all the heartache they went through. No one would have understood what was happening in Lazarus' home. While all this was going on, heaven knew what was happening. God would never desert his own. Never. 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 All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. While the sickness was getting worse, while the pain was getting worse, while Mary was crying, Martha was crying, because they're seeing Lazarus progressively getting worse, much pain, they're saying that he's going to die. He's going to die. And all the hope they had that Jesus would come, slowly starting to fade away. In the midst of that, they tried to still keep their hope alive. Maybe at the last second Jesus would come. Maybe at the last second Jesus would come, but he didn't. When this message went to Jesus, he just said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. The Son of God may be glorified thereby. Heaven's agenda is the most important agenda of all agendas, remember. God's plan is a plan of all plans. If you're taking notes, write it down. God's plan for you, God's plan for me, is the best plan. In order for that plan to be fully accomplished, thoroughly accomplished, temporarily, if we have to go through pain, so be it. Temporarily, if we have to go through discomfort, so be it. Temporarily, if we have to go through loss, so be it. We need to be people of God who trust Him no matter what we see. Things may look like it's getting worse in the natural realm. It could very well get worse, but not in the spiritual realm. These two realms are very different realms. In the physical realm, death could be fast approaching. But in the spiritual realm, God sees it as something not life-threatening. Because in the spiritual realm, God, the God of resurrection and life, has the power over death. And Jesus Christ, even before he died on the cross, before he overcame death, him being God in flesh, already had power over death. So he said that this is not a big thing. I just have to wait for some more days so that these people may see the power of God, that they may know that Jesus is the Son of God, that they may know God can actually do miracles beyond healing diseases. He can raise the dead. God's plan is the best plan for your life and for my life. God is speaking to your heart this morning. Is your situation looking like it's getting worse? Does it appear to be out of control? Do you feel like, God, it's beyond me? I've done everything I can do, or I'm doing everything I can do, at least to my ability, to my capacity. I'm doing everything I can do, but the situation is getting worse and worse. And I have no control over this. If that is you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart this morning. If you are in the hands of the Almighty God, and if you happen to be one of those who love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, who could say that Jesus is my friend, Jesus loves me, and I talk to him, and he talks to me. He lives in my home. He lives in my heart. Then know for sure that whatever happens to you happens with his approval. Not a single hair from your head will fall to the ground without his permission. And everything that happens in your life will happen towards God being glorified in your life in a significant manner. Satan will be put to shame in a significant manner. When everything looks like it's over, all hope is gone, what more is there? Once the person closes his eyes and takes his last breath, what more is there? That's what the world would say. Where there's no life, when Jesus steps in, life comes back. When it comes back, with greater glory, where the Son of Man, the Son of God, is glorified to a greater extent. So whatever you may be going through in your life, no matter how hopeless it may appear, no matter how out of control it may appear, know this for sure. Once you take the matter to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's fully aware of your situation. He's fully aware of everything that is going on. He's fully aware of how serious it is. He also knows what He's about to do in your life. When things get worse, when it looks beyond your control, know that that's a perfect opportunity for God to be glorified in your life. So when you see things progressively getting worse, you know that you can't do anything about it. Know that you are still in the will of God. Know that God has a plan, a perfect plan for your life. A perfect plan. A plan that will work out for your good and for His glory. A plan that will work out for your good and for His glory. God is assuring you, reassuring you this morning through His Holy Spirit that nothing in your life happens without His knowledge, and it is not beyond His control. No situation is beyond recovery, write it down. No situation in our life is beyond recovery. And when He steps in, He does something far glorious, what you can ever imagine in your life. So don't go by what you see. Go by who He is. Go by His power. Go by what He can do in your life. This is why Jesus, when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed there for a few more days. He said, I'm going to be here for two more days. And I'm going to do the work that I have to do. And by this time, Lazarus got worse. He died. And after that, Jesus had to travel and come. So it took a few more days. By the time everything was over and He was in the tomb, it was already 4 days. Now, very important point here to note. God's timing is the best timing. God's ways are the best ways. Our timing is not the best timing. Our ways fall short when we put it next to the ways of God. It's always good to tell the Lord, Lord, I bring my cause to You. And I ask You to intervene in my life, knowing that You can do anything. And I submit myself to Your perfect will. And rest in His faithfulness. Very important. God is speaking to you this morning about the perfect peace that you need to have deep within yourself, knowing that my God is in control. God is in the business of rebuilding lives. God is in the midst of rebuilding lives. God has the power to create and to destroy. God can destroy the works of darkness in your life, in your family. And God has the power to create something brand new. God can create something brand new in our lives. God can do the impossible. God can recreate. God can create. God can restore. God can renew. God can do all things. When we know the nature of God, when we know the power of God, we can never be shaken. No matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what news it may be, we can really, really be confident in this, that He is always for me, not against me. That He is working out something far glorious and eternal. Something of eternal value. If God answers our prayers according to our timing and according to our ways, then we're going to lose the greater blessings that God has for us. Well, we know He answers us, but most of the time, not according to our timing, not according to the way we think that He should answer. But He answers according to His timing and always, always, always works out to be something far glorious. In Lazarus' case, I encourage you to read the rest of this chapter, rest of this section, and see how it ended. It ended in a very glorious way. Mary, Martha, got to witness the power of God. All the people there got to witness the power of God. And because of this, Jesus Christ was glorified. His timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. When He delays, it is good for us. When He makes us to wait, even if it hurts, even if we have to go through pain, even if it takes longer than what everybody would want or like to, it is for something far more glorious. We have to have that confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I have sent the message to Him that I am in need, that I need Him to intervene, He got it. He got it. He heard it. He can hear really well. And He's a God who answers. We have to also know that He's a God of compassion. He's never going to make us suffer for nothing. He's never going to say that, I don't care how you feel. I don't care if you're in pain or not. I don't care if you cry or not. No, this is the Lord Jesus Christ who stood by the grave and He wept. He wept. Jesus wept, the Bible says. He's a God of compassion. He sees our tears. He knows our pain. He knows our turmoil. Yet He's interested in forming our character. He's interested in doing something far more glorious in our lives. One thing we need to keep our eyes on. We need to keep our eyes on God's eternal plan concerning us with our present situation. I want to repeat, God's eternal plan concerning you with your present situation. I want to repeat one more time as the Holy Spirit wants me to. God's eternal plan concerning you with your current situation. Whatever your situation is, there's an eternal plan of God that's taking place if you are in the perfect will of God. So it's very important for us to be in the perfect will of God, number one, by following Him, by obeying Him, by having faith in Him. Number two, if you know that you are in the perfect will of God, that you're going through something, as you are in the perfect will of God, you need to know there's the eternal plan of God. There's an eternal plan of God concerning your situation that you're going through right now. It's going to work out in a glorious manner. The Bible says He makes all things beautiful in its time. There's a time to sow, there's a time to reap, there's a time to mourn, there's a time to rejoice. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time for everything under the sun. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us this morning. Whatever situation you're going through, know that there's a purpose to it. If you belong to Jesus, if you're walking with Him, there's a purpose, and this is not a purpose that is temporary, but the purpose is of eternal value. Whatever concerns your present situation is linked up with God's eternal plan, that God is working out something far more glorious in you. Number one is to conform you to the image of Jesus, where He is developing the perseverance, He's developing faith, He's developing patience, endurance, the nature of God in you. Secondly, whatever is going on in your life, God has His plan worked out for your current situation, for God to be glorified in you, and for you to rise up with a greater testimony. I want to encourage you through the Spirit of God this morning, as the Holy Spirit wants me to. Fix your eyes on Jesus, not on the problem, but on the problem solver. Whatever situation you have, take it to Jesus. It's important to inform Him. It's important to take it to Him. Take it to the Lord in prayer, as the beautiful hymn goes. We carry a lot of unnecessary burdens because we don't take it to God in prayer. But when you take it to God in prayer, know that He heard it. He heard it. He heard it. When you take it to God in prayer, know that the moment you took it to God in prayer, He heard it. And He already put a date and a timestamp on it. That He will come. He will do what He has intended in His great heart to do. So, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, how are you supposed to handle your problems? How are you supposed to handle your problems until then? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, we are called to run with endurance. Every time you face your problem, see the problem solver in the midst of your problems. That's how you face it. Not stare at your problems, but in the midst of your problem, where is Jesus? Look for Jesus. Have you given your problems into the hands of the problem solver, the Lord Jesus Christ? Then it's time for you to thank Him because He heard you. It's time for you to talk to Him knowing that He heard you. It's time for you to look to Him for what He's going to do because He heard you. It's time for you to expect in faith, even if it looks like it is not happening. Even if it looks like everything opposite is taking place, it's understand that the moment you tell Him of your problems, He heard it. We don't worship a deaf God. We don't worship a God who has a hard heart with no compassion. This God of heaven and earth stood before that grave and He wept. What do you think of that? He sees our suffering. He sees our tears. And He weeps with us. That is who our God is. He's not a God without any emotion, standing far away, looking at what we're going through, and says, okay, when the time comes, I'll do it. Until then, cry your heart out. No. He knows what we're going through. He understands. And He wants us to trust Him. Trust Him as a God of compassion. Trust Him as a God of power. Trust Him as a God who understands everything. Trust Him as a God who knows everything. Trust Him as a God of the impossible. Trust Him as a God who makes all things brand new. Trust Him with everything that is within you. Job trusted Him. What happened to him? What happened to him? Did God fail him? No. He suffered. Everything looked like it was getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until suddenly everything changed. Joseph trusted him. What happened to him? It looked like it was getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Suddenly, everything changed. Those who looked to him, their faces became radiant. It was never put to shame. Until it becomes radiant, the Lord says, keep looking at his face intently. Until your face becomes radiant, keep on looking at him intently. Don't stare at your problems, but stare at the problem solver. Keep looking unto him with everything that is within you, intently. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you see no evidence for what you're seeking for, when you see no evidence for what you're believing for, you still believe beyond hope. That's when you'll see the miracle. That's when you'll see the miracle. God is looking for people who will believe beyond what they see, who will believe beyond all hope. Abraham believed in God and his promise for a child when he had no child. What happened to him? Looked like everything got worse and worse and worse. Things became so bad that his body died and his wife's body died. And there was no hope. Beyond hope, he believed. That's why he is in Hebrews 11. That's why his wife is in Hebrews 11. These are the saints of God who believed beyond hope when everything looked like it was getting worse and worse and worse. These are men and women of faith who refused to bow down to what they saw. But beyond hope, they believed in the God who had promised that he would never leave them nor forsake them. They believed in the God who had promised that he was going to do a miracle for them. And they believed beyond hope, and they received what they hoped for. God is speaking to your hearts today. Don't let your hope go down. Don't let the enemy come and snuff out the light that God has put in you. Don't let the enemy come and say, what is the point in hoping for this? I don't think this is going to work out. I don't think this is going to live. That's the voice of Lucifer. Do not entertain that, says the Holy Spirit. Beyond hope, be someone who has the character to trust God. Not go by what you see, but go by who He is, the Almighty, all-powerful, sovereign, all-loving, all-compassionate, all-merciful, Creator God, the God of resurrection and life. Shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord at this hour? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts this morning. Beyond hope, Abraham believed. Beyond hope, Job believed, saying, I know that my Redeemer lives. Beyond hope, Daniel believed. God can shut the mouths of the lions. Beyond hope, Joseph believed. Yes, one day, he will be placed where God promised him to be. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Beyond hope, we have a God of the hopeless who brings hope, true hope, not false hope, true hope. Where there is no life, he comes to say, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. It's just a matter of time. Are you willing to believe him beyond what you see? Are you willing to press in beyond what your feelings would dictate you to? Are you willing to bow down to heaven's agenda, heaven's plan for your life? Are you willing to see through everything that is happening that there is an eternal connection here? God is working out something far more glorious. Yes, Jesus' friend can get sick. Jesus' friend can go through pain. Jesus' friend can go through suffering. The difference is Jesus' friend will rise again from the dead. While those who don't have Jesus will die without any hope. Those who walk with Jesus have an eternal connection with everything that is going on in their lives, moment by moment. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done on earth, in our lives, in our families, in our bodies, at our workplaces, in our children's lives, in our finances, in our marriages, as it is in heaven. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'll touch your people right now. I pray that you'll remove the scales from the eyes of those who are not able to see, who are not able to understand what is going on at this hour. What is going on in my life? What is going on with me? I ask you, may those scales fall off right now in Jesus' name. May they grasp heaven's agenda, Father. May they lay hold of the eternal perspective that you have for what is happening right now, at this moment. May they become people of faith. May they all the more pursue you. May they pursue you like never before. May Jesus truly be the Lord of their lives in every area, even more than ever before. Father, may they seek you in the kingdom even more than ever before. I pray, strengthen your people, Lord, at this hour. Strengthen your people with your strength from above. I know you've spoken to them. The words that you've spoken are words of truth, words that bring life. And I know that your word has imparted life into the hearts of your children. I pray, may your resurrection power continue to work in every heart, mind, soul, and body. Whatever is causing grief to their hearts, I pray, may those be removed in Jesus' name and be replaced with faith in the one who knows all things, understands all things. He is working out all things for their good and for His glory. I pray that You bless Your people, Lord. I ask You that You will place Your right hand upon every brother, sister, child who is here on this call. And I ask You to touch them right now in Jesus' name. From the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet, Lord, may Your strength be imparted into them right now in Jesus' name. Strength to look beyond what they're seeing right now. Strength to believe beyond what their circumstance is dictating right now. That they may inherit the blessings that You have for them by believing You in spite of what they see. And as Your servant, I speak this blessing upon Your people at this hour, that they may walk by faith and not by sight, and become great men and women of God who will be used by God Almighty because of their faithfulness to Your holy word, because of their faith in Your faithfulness. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.